Isn't this a sports show?
I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town.
Almost entirely.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Excuse me. I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I'm sorry, what were you saying the past 5 minutes or so?
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Do I come across as thoroughly hateable as I toot my own horn on this Royals thing?
Well, I'm tooting your horn.
What?
Damn it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, listen. Rule of thumb. Just in case this is something that's challenged you in your past. Unless someone explicitly asks you for explicit photos or videos of you with your dong out and or in action, do not send photos or videos of you with your dong out and or in action. Every day now, there's someone new that needs to be reminded of that. And now it's sports. We had a moment of Warren Moon, but that was like, oh, that's a former player. He's not really in the spotlight anymore. Boom, NFL Network. Here it goes, up in smoke. We got Marshall Faulk. He's done. Ike Taylor, Donovan McNabb, Heath Evans. And right now, I think Beards has NFL Network on his TV. Is that accurate?
Yep.
Anybody got their bleep out?
Not yet.
Okay. Keep an eye on that, would you? Please do interrupt the show if anybody on NFL Network just spontaneously whips their bleep out. I'm not going to just read this verbatim. You can go find it. It's on Twitter everywhere. Some of the allegations. John Middlecoff had it out on Twitter pretty early on. So the NFL Network allegations are like Harvey Weinstein meets Louis C.K., which, by the way, what an interaction would that be like? Can you imagine Harvey Weinstein meets Louis C.K.? It's like, hey, do you mind if I... oh, no, actually, no, please do. Do you mind if I... Oh, of course. Yes, by all means, please do. Or maybe they'd both get really offended by each other. That would be funny. Ike Taylor probably has the real winner from these allegations of him in the shower, not bathing necessarily, but, you know, another activity that you wouldn't want to just see show up. You wouldn't want to just, like, oh, a text message video from Ike Taylor. Oh, God! Yeah, some Eric Weinberger he's now the president of Bill Simmons' media group, or he was until about 6 hours ago, I'm guessing. Since several pictures and texts. Listen to this move. I hadn't seen this. This is not an explicit phrase or anything. This is safe for work, but don't do this at work, you perverts. Listen to this phrase, and then Beards, I need you also here to just try to... I need you to do something for me, actually. I need you to play devil's advocate in a way that's going to make you very uncomfortable.
Oh, boy.
But I need you to try to figure out if you can come up with a reason that any sane person would do this thing.
Okay.
Here's a snippet from this article. He also pressed his crotch against Cantor's shoulder and asked her to touch it, according to the complaint. What do you mean? Like, how do these men walk through life? Like, I just want to know. Like, were they just walking down hallways, just bleep first? Just kind of strutting, but with their inappropriates out in the front? How do you do that? Now, in the story, I think it was the same person from NFL Network's complaint. She said she went to HR and then was met with, like, well, that's part of the job whenever you look like you do. But that's a paraphrase, but very, very close to the exact quote that she apparently got when she took this to Human Resources, which is how you get sued. And that's also why women don't bring it up sometimes. You don't want to take that to HR and be told, oh, that's, job hazard. You're an attractive person. Hope you're ready for just an avalanche of pictures of things you didn't necessarily want to see. Just goodbye, all of you. Marshall Faulk, Heath Evans, everybody in that, goodbye. Right out the door. Don't need you. By the way, never needed you. This is something, I don't know if we've actually had this conversation. And this can just go ahead and go out now to anybody in sports commentary, which includes myself. I understand that I am going to put myself in a group here with everybody else. This goes, save this for posterity. I am confident enough in my ability to not send explicit photos of myself to know that I am good here. But listen up. Everybody in sports media, this is so easy. And so Harvey Weinstein, huge media company, in charge of a huge media company. Louis C.K., extremely, one of the world's most famous comedians. Kevin Spacey, an extremely well-loved actor. Before all of this, I'm saying. This was the reputation of these men before all of these things came out. These are guys that people thought of in high regard, or at least, they enjoyed their work. You matter so little, Heath Evans and Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor and Donovan McNabb. Everybody, if you are in sports commentary, you matter not at all. So Marshall Faulk will get, Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor, and Heath Evans will all get fired from NFL Network once this wraps up, which all of them should have done. And then they will be replaced by just three other dudes. Three other completely inconsequential former NFL players. And man, they've got 1,000 of them. This is the joke that Beards and I have been making about NFL Network. They just have that, like, players-only roundtable. They got 500 of them.
And I think I recognize a couple of those guys from the players-only show.
I think so. Yeah. We've said under the names. Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor, and Heath Evans have all been suspended by NFL Network.
Whichever one was the white guy. That's the one Evans. I recognize. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know his name. I don't care.
I'm just he's the one named Heath.
Okay.
Heath is the white guy. Fair.
I mean, Marshall.
Yeah, but you knew who Marshall Faulk was, though, right?
No.
Okay. Well, whoops. But this goes for everybody. If you work for NFL Network or you work for a sports talk radio station, you can be replaced in 32 seconds. You will cause a problem for your company, and then they will replace you and churn you out and bring in your replacement before you have time to put a towel around your waist. Really? Seriously? Again, so House of Cards is going on without Kevin Spacey. That's going to be really weird. I've only seen a little bit of House of Cards. Feels like I can't really go back to it now. I'm watching Breaking Bad instead.
That's fine. Breaking Bad's better.
And also, if Bryan Cranston gets caught up in anything, I'm going to be so disappointed. Just because, he seems safe. You know? But also, I'm guessing Kevin Spacey probably did also. But that's going to go on, and it's going to be weird. You lost the main motor of the show, and I know that I can't remember who plays his wife in House of Cards. Who plays Kevin Spacey's wife?
Oh,
remember her name? I can't. His wife, a very good character in her own right, is going to take on a larger role in the next season of House of Cards. Beards has been gesticulating wildly.
I I've had it in my head about five different times. Hold on.
Robin Wright.
Yep.
I wanted to say it before Beard Scott took to knew it would annoy him. But so Robin Wright is going to take on a larger role in the next season of House of Cards. Whatever, I get it, okay? So that's, but it's going to be super strange. Louis C.K. is some of the people, like, actually cared about, right? I really enjoyed Louis C.K.'s stand-up for the most part. Now, not having him in my life doesn't really affect me that much. But I can't tell you one thing that Marshall Faulk has done other than run the football good. And this has to be evident. But I guess, you know, actually, that's not true. This can't be evident. Because you look around sports media and you're going to find enormous egos. People that are 100% replaceable. Everybody is replaceable as long as the sports get played. Like, Skip Bayless went to Fox Sports 1. Got replaced by who again?
Max Kellerman.
Max Kellerman. First Take is doing fine. Colin Cowherd could be anywhere for all I know. And also, if Colin Cowherd, and man, listen, I mean, Colin Cowherd, he creeps me out just already. If Colin Cowherd got swept up in some scandal, Nick Wright could replace him in 35 seconds, and the world would be none the wiser. Mike and Mike just split up. So Greenberg goes off to do his own thing. Trey Wingo steps up in the biggest slot in sports radio. The biggest slot in sports talk radio is the ESPN Morning National Show. Mike and Mike build up this tremendous thing. Greenberg decided he was done. He goes to do his own stuff. Trey Wingo just, boop, here I am now. Now it's Golic and Wingo. Burp, 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 burp. Because everybody is so replaceable. And I just would like for everybody in media, Matt Lauer, replaceable. Big story, makes a lot of money. Goodbye. What are you to me? What have you done for me, Matt Lauer? Goodbye. Goodbye forever. And there should be no Marshall Faulk reunion tour. No Heath Evans repentance. I don't care. They mean nothing to me. Because it's an industry of gasbaggery. And I understand that I'm in that now. I also don't matter. I get it. So you're walking a fine line. Realize how little you matter. And whenever this stuff comes out, go away and never come back. I didn't really watch. I'm a little too young, I think, for Bill Cosby being a well-known, like that, the Cosby Show being a big deal or whatever. I didn't really mean. I'm guessing there were a lot of people that were like, oh man, like, this was something we consumed. This Cosby Show, and this is, oh, he was like America's dad or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's really what he was. Like, oh, man, this is really like rocked my world. Heath Evans responds to haters on Twitter with shirtless gym pictures. That is the one thing about him that I knew before today. You will have no one weeping at your professional funeral. If you get fired from NFL Network because you couldn't keep your bleep in your pants. Like, it's so silly. What was my point? I think my point was just remember how small you are. And stop sending pictures of your privates to people who don't want them. I mean, don't send them to people who do want them. That's up to you. That part's up to you. If someone says, hey, you should send me a picture of your mouth, then you figure out if you want to do that or not. That is up to you. But definitely don't volunteer that. And then whenever you get fired, don't expect anybody to give 30 seconds of thought to your passing. I could never see Marshall Faulk's face again for the rest of my life, and that would mean nothing to me. I'm getting a phone call from Georgia. So, maybe there's somebody in Georgia who's really upset with me. All right, Beards, I gave you 15 solid minutes there. Can you come up with one good reason to send an unsolicited picture?
No?
It's actually a trick question. That's the right answer. There's not one. Unless you're just a horrific person that wants to make other people feel small. Not emotionally. Emotionally small. Which is what it's usually about, I guess. And man, like the one thing about this that feels kind of perfect for the things we've talked about on this show for the last like month is we have spent good job by you and me, Beards. We have spent so much time pointing out how worthless NFL Network is. Like, their fantasy live program.
Which is on right now.
Right. They're trying to use a touchscreen to move a star
and
to one guy. And
Sleepy Z's.
Some Sleepy Z's, another guy. They just sent both of them to Muhammad Sanu.
All business as usual here.
Like, well, right. Exactly. Yeah, they're definitely not, like,
starting off every program mourning the loss of their coworkers.
Definitely not. Maybe NFL Network should employ more women who know about sports and less former players and current perverts. That's an option. That's an idea. By the way, did you know that there are women who know about sports? I knew that. I don't know if NFL Network totally does, because I swear every time I look up, it's just like three or four dudes talking. Occasionally, a woman will be like moderated.
They have that one commercial for like the morning show or whatever, where
Good
it's like
morning
the guy
football,
walk,
maybe
the guy walking down the hallway and he's like nodding into all the offices and there's like a couple people in there and a couple women in there, and then he like comes to the desk and there's like two other people around there and it's like, yeah, diversity.
Right. Yes, that is in the promo for sure. You look up to Fantasy Live and they're talking about Kenyon and there's three white dudes talking about Kenyon Drake. So we've laid the appropriate groundwork for us to remind you that no one needs the NFL Network. Also,
let's get rid of it.
Also, well, here's the thing. So, like, someone would be like, well, what if NFL Network offered you a job right now? I'm like, oh, sweet, man. Like, okay, cool. I guess, yeah. Like, I love, you know, talking about stuff to a larger audience or whatever.
And money!
Oh, sure. Money sounds awesome. Never actually had any, but it feels like it'd be cool. But I would not go do the Fantasy Live show as like
job. No.
If that was part of the deal, fine. But listen, but also like you could,
like, if they're gonna make you the host of the new Fantasy Live show after everybody else has been fired for, you know,
for being sex perverts.
Well, I mean just walking around without pants on, that
sure.
Work suit, yeah. then no, that's not happening.
It would be like, hello, yes, one person at NFL Network. By the way, it's actually at this point the channel's just women. They're going for diversity by hiring non-pervert men because they're trying to balance out the power, because all of the sex pervert men have left. But like, I'm not afraid of NFL Network hearing this and not offering me a job on the Players Only show, which I'm not qualified for, or the Fantasy Live show, which is just like, it's just programming. It's just programming. And also, by the way, I'm saying that anyone can do that, which me doing it would prove. Like, I think that this show is usually pretty good. I'm usually pretty happy with how this show turns out. Relatively
except
proud of
Friday.
This show. Except for Friday. In fact, all of last week was really good, except for Friday.
Yep.
This week, so far, show and a quarter in.
Good.
Chef kiss.
Decent.
Decent. But also, I'm telling you, I will say this now. I am qualified to go do the Fantasy Live show. I could do it. You know what?
Not me.
You might be able to. If we gave
Who's
you,
this guy?
If we gave you...
What team does he play for?
If we gave you a week of training...
Who are you?
You could also be one of... You could ask the questions about... You could ask the fantasy questions. You could just say, all right, Kenyon Drake, Muhammad Sanu, who's the sleeper you want? And then I would drag some emojis around, and then I would drop my pants and get fired. The NFL Network experience.
Can we change it to NBA TV?
No, because I'm not qualified for that. Maybe you could be. We're going to get...
I just mean the channel. Can we change it?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's fine. Because I don't want to watch Fantasy Live.
I think my choices were Fantasy Live and soccer. Talk. Not even, like, the game. Which I don't know which is worse in that scenario.
You know what's worse?
What?
Of all of these? Seeing Marshall Faulk's dong.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Charlie has now come up to the window and I think just exposed his nipple to Rudy just for no reason.
That's what KU fans do. They expose their nipples for no reason.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Charlie, put that away! Put it away! No, we don't want you to see that!
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so over the break, Beards was saying, somebody commented about how Bill Cosby definitely was like the dad of the 80s and 90s. And so Beards said that'd be like, for us, like finding out that Bill Nye had been sending out unwanted pictures. And I disagree. You know who it would be? You know, like the most like soul-crushing one that I can think of? I think it would be LeVar Burton.
Ooh, that's pretty good too.
Reading Rainbow?
Yeah.
I mean, Reading Rainbow was like, that was it, man. Seems like LeVar Burton's good, by the way.
So far.
So far. We're good on LeVar Burton. That's the one that would be the most traumatizing, I think, for me.
Can go either way.
I almost said, like, we'll take your suggestions.
Let's not play that game.
No, let's not play that game. I don't want to accidentally accuse anybody of anything. But go ahead and burn down NFL Network because nobody needs that. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs now with Matt Verderam from FanSided. Matt, I hope you have enjoyed the topic of conversation bringing you into the show today.
Yeah, always interesting.
I think we're out of arguments for keeping NFL Network running. I even before the last 24 hours, I failed to find much of use from Thursday Night Football, anything other than Thursday Night Football. And even that, you know, has its problems. So at this point, I think I'm willing to say, let's go ahead and shut down NFL Network and consolidate.
See, I love NFL Network, but if the allegations are true against some of their talent, probably time to clean house. And,
they're gone. No, it's over. It's over.
They hire former NFL players. I don't think they're going to have a problem finding other guys who are willing to step in.
This is exactly what I was saying last segment. Heath Evans is unbelievably replaceable. He means nothing to me. Like he brings nothing into the world of NFL commentary that we can't go get from Peyton Hillis. Like don't know why I compared those two guys. That's weird. He is so thoroughly replaceable, and all of us are. That's the scary thing, I guess, is we're all infinitely replaceable, and none of us mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to miss Heath Evans' commentary.
No.
I think that's a safe bet. You know what? Ultimately, I think, unfortunately, we're probably going to see more allegations come out against people than you know, being closer to the end. Because if the entertainment wave of this showed anything... and it's a good thing in one way. The more people that come out, the more that are willing to come forward and be brave and share their stories. And so, you know what? It might be a long overdue time to, you know, maybe cleanse a lot of these issues.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs now. Sorry for bringing you in on that note. This is what we've been talking about last segment. And again, no one needs Heath Evans. So let's talk about the Chiefs. Back on track, at least in some way. Yesterday, I compared the Chiefs to Jeffy from Family Circus. They did not take the most efficient path from point A to point B. This is actually about where I thought they would be at this point in the season if you would have asked me this back in, like, March. So now I'm wondering where you think this team actually is and if you think that they have a clear path from here on out or if Sunday didn't mean much to you anyway.
No, I don't think they have a clear path from here on out. I think the game on Saturday is going to be, you know, basically Armageddon for them one way or the other. I think it was the best game for my money that they've played for a full 60 minutes since the New England game.
Yeah.
I thought they won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And look, the Raiders' defense is terrible, but their offensive line is good. That was, to me, the most shocking part of that game. I went back and watched the film this afternoon. tweeted out a whole bunch of observations and pictures and whatnot. And the biggest thing that I found was Calicchio Assembly, I think, is the best left guard in football.
Yeah.
Chris Jones made him look like Mike McGlinnan that day. It was unbelievable. So I was shocked. But I don't know, is that the Chiefs team we're going to get going forward? Right. Or was that just a little respite and we're going to go back to being a mediocre, middling to horrendous team next Saturday?
I want to talk more about Chris Jones in a second, but let's stick with that. From what you saw last week, did it seem, if you had to put your money down, did it seem repeatable? Were there kind of big plays being made that seemed like kind of flukes falling in the right direction? Or were the Chiefs doing something kind of systematically different?
Well, I think a little bit of both. Look, first of all, there were some systematic changes. They were much more simplified with the offensive line. They stopped trying to make all these complex blocks and just allowed guys to make the block in front of them. And I think we saw the difference. Duvernay-Tardif had multiple blocks. They had guys more than 10 yards downfield. If the Chiefs can continue to do that, they're going to be very tough to beat. Now, that being said, I think it has to be said, the Raiders looked like they had no interest in playing football on Sunday. Mm. So, you know, how much of that was that the Raiders just were flatter than hell for whatever the reason? I don't know. I do think it's repeatable, though, from the standpoint that, look, we know the Chiefs have talent, and that's what's been so maddening about the last 2 months. So I think if the Chiefs continue to play with the fire and the effort that they showed on Sunday, yeah, it's repeatable. But they're going to have to bring that same level of effort on Saturday because the Chargers are better than the Raiders.
For sure. Going into the season, I was thrilled about what Chris Jones was going to be this year. We saw so much good stuff from him in year one. I was really excited to see the jump that he would make in year two. And he was really quiet for most of the season, all the way through, until Sunday against the Raiders. Did you see him doing something different on Sunday, or was he just winning his matchup in a way that isn't necessarily surprising that we just haven't seen this year?
Well, his best game of the year came against Philadelphia. He had 3 sacks, I believe, he had 2 forced fumbles and a recovered fumble.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, he had a half sack in all the other games combined. Mm-hmm. So against the Raiders, he has the sack and on the first drive, the third down. And I think one of the things that helped was Bob Sutton, who I think I and many others have criticized repeatedly for being so predictable. He moved guys around.
Yeah.
That third down pass rush, he moved Jones out as a defensive end, almost in a wide nine technique. Moved him outside. They put Houston as a defensive tackle. The Raiders doubled Houston. Jones took on Marshall Newhouse, ran him over. Bailey got pressure up the middle, forced a sack. I think for Jones, it's pivotal that Sutton continues to move everybody around, and frankly, not just for Jones, but for the whole front, because it makes it harder to know who's blocking who has a blocking assignment. I think that is absolutely critical that the Chiefs continue to do that.
So that's fascinating. She said on one of those plays, I knew that they were doing a lot of things, the defensive linemen. I saw somewhere that the defensive tackles played something like 127, I don't know why I went that specific, something around 120, 130 plays in the whole game out of like 60 defensive snaps. The Chiefs were spending a lot of time with weird upfront setups, so there were times when Houston would go in at the defensive tackle space, move out the end to the edges. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, what they would do a lot of times is they'd flip Jones and Houston. So instead of Jones playing inside where he normally would, near the guard, they moved him outside to the outside shoulder of the tackle, and they moved Houston inside. And a lot of times, look, no guard, if Houston gets any kind of a lane, no guard is going to be able to keep up with his quickness, his agility. So teams the Raiders in that game kept doubling him, and it was leaving Jones one-on-one outside. And they were winning. Look, the biggest difference in that game, we could parse it a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest difference was the Chiefs won one-on-one battles consistently. And they had not done that for months. And frankly, I think part of that is a scheme thing. It was harder to figure out where they were coming from. Typically, the Chiefs, in my opinion, are the most predictable defense in football.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't on Sunday. And I also think it's an effort thing. They were getting off blocks. They were making guys pay. And that's something that, frankly, they haven't done in a while.
The effort side of things that has to be trending in the right direction, because we said this on Sunday and we'll say it again on Saturday, it's kind of a de facto playoff game. It doesn't end the season if they lose to the Chargers, but it ends the AFC West, and you don't want to deal with the wild card and everything. So with a de facto playoff game on Saturday, you would think the effort would show up again. The creativity and the one-on-one matchups, both of those are different reasons I think are really interesting. in the effort, or excuse me, in the one-on-one matchup section of things, were there other things you were seeing from Bob Sutton, other matchups that he was forcing, like moving Jones out and Houston in, other things throughout the defense on Sunday?
Well, I think, look, one difference that he made, and he actually made this change in the Dallas game, and it's continued through, is instead of playing this small nickel, which basically means they had Sorensen in as a third linebacker,
yes,
they've gone to more of a two-down lineman, four linebacker look.
Yes.
And sometimes they play four guys along the line of scrimmage, but two of them are typically Zombo and Houston, sometimes, you know, Passione or Tomba. So I think that's helped tremendously, because when you play, even though it's the same amount of guys in the box, when you play guys who are legitimate run defenders, or at least at the size to beat them, that changes the way you're blocked. Teams might double-team an extra guy. Maybe that leaves Ragland or Pierre Lewis to come free. So I think for the Chiefs, if they felt comfortable playing more zone than they typically do, when I watched them in the secondary, they played a lot more zone. Now, I think part of that might have been Marcus Peters wasn't there, but it worked. Terrence Mitchell and Darrell Revis were fantastic in the game. Now, Amari Cooper's playing on half an ankle, so, right, you know, take that for what it's worth. But the Chiefs' defense in that game, it could not have been any better. I couldn't find one play in the first half where there wasn't something good going on, and that even includes plays where they gave up a first down here or there.
I want to come back to the secondary, but one more thing on the front seven. The Raiders' offensive line has a ton of talent on it, and the Chiefs made it look like a JV offensive line for much of Sunday. How does the Raiders' offensive line stack up to the Chargers' offensive line that we're going to see on Saturday?
Talent-wise, the Raiders have a much better offensive line.
That's, I
mean, Alessio Semley is a top three offensive lineman in the league. Forget even position. He's phenomenal. We know what Rodney Hudson can do. Gabe Jackson's one of the highest-paid guards in the league, and Donald Penn, the good solid left tackle. Their right tackle's not good. But the Chargers, look, their best offensive lineman is Max Lawson, and he's out for the year. So they struggle on the right side. Joe Barstow's not a good right tackle. That said, they've only given up 15 sacks this year. They're a much better pass-blocking line than they are a run-blocking line. I expect that the Chiefs will bottle up Melvin Gordon in this game. The question becomes, can the Chiefs get to Rivers? Now, not easy to sack him. He's not mobile, but if he sees pressure, he gets rid of the ball immediately.
Right.
He's willing to throw the ball away, which I think is part of the reason they've only given up 15 sacks. The Chiefs have to get pressure. It's not as good of an offensive line as Oakland has, but I think the quarterback standing behind it is much more dangerous than Derek Carr.
So, yeah, this, I just wrote down the four words. Who is Derek Carr?
Derek Carr is a slightly above average NFL quarterback. And I'm not saying that because he didn't play well on Sunday. When he signed his $125 million deal, I wrote a column at FanSided kind of detailing that, look, I understand why the Raiders did it. They had to. But I think that's going to be a little bit of an anchor. And, look, Carr was never – I know he was in the MVP race, so to speak, last year before he got hurt, but he was never an MVP-level player.
No.
That team was never as good as it looked. They won a million games. I think it was seven games by 3 points or less. And they've come back to earth. There's a reason that the Raiders lived on the edge a lot last year, and I think Carr was emblematic of it. If he's fine. He can have games where he plays really well. We saw that in the first meeting between these two teams. But if you can get some pressure on him, if you can make him force some tight throws, he's nothing to write home about.
We're talking to Matt Verderam. He's from FanSided. All of us are on FanSided. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You mentioned that the Chiefs are playing a whole lot more zone without Marcus Peters. Can you explain a little bit more what you saw from the secondary? And is any of that, it worked really well last week, is any of that going to be brought back into the game plan even whenever Marcus Peters does return?
I think we'll see some of that. I think, you know, as they continue to tinker with what can make this defense work, I think we're going to see a lot of different looks. The Chiefs typically play more man coverage than any team in football. Now, look, last week against the Raiders, they gave a lot of different looks. They dropped seven. They dropped eight. They didn't blitz a lot against the Raiders, which made getting pressure all the more impressive. In fact, when Chris Jones hit Derek Carr and forced that Terrence Mitchell interception, they only rushed three. And he was double-teamed by Penn and Osemele on the play, and he won easily. So I think the Chiefs were willing to drop back into situations where they had, you know, three linebackers and two corners basically playing horizontally across at the two safeties back deep in a cover two look, and it worked for them. The Chiefs are probably going to want to do something fairly similar against Rivers, keep everything in front of them, and force Rivers to throw into coverage deep down the field. But the key to that is your front has to get pressure without blitzing. If the Chiefs can do that on Saturday, I think they'll win the game. If they can't get pressure and Rivers has time, the Chiefs could drop 15 guys, and it's not going to matter.
So what are you expecting that matchup to look like on Saturday?
I think for the Chiefs to win, they have to run the ball, and they've got to get pressure. They don't have to sack Rivers. Mm. They don't have to have a game where they have 9 sacks or anything. They just simply have to get pressure. Now, Justin Houston in his career has owned the Chargers. He has been phenomenal against them. I expect that he'll have a good game this week. I think for the Chargers to win, Rivers has to throw for more than 300 yards. I don't think they're going to win the game running the football. I would be surprised if they do. I think the Chargers might also need to win the turnover battle. If the Chiefs can keep Bosa and Ingram at bay, run the ball a little bit, so I think goes a long way toward that first goal, I think the Chiefs win. I think Arrowhead at night is a real thing. Mm-hmm. I think Arrowhead during the day is a bit overrated sometimes, mm-hmm. but I think at night it takes on a little bit of a different persona. I think it's a tough game. It's going to be colder out, and that's something that for the Chargers, look, they're not used to. So I think it could go either way. I frankly wouldn't be surprised no matter what happens with the way the Chiefs have been this year, but I think the Chiefs team we saw Sunday is going to be closer to what we see on Saturday rather than the previous couple of months based off of their line play.
I think that is a completely reasonable way to kind of unpack it. And then so now, with that being said, I love getting kind of like the weekly heat check for where you're at with this team. When you look at the rest of the AFC, I was going to say a flawed AFC except for the top. Without Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots just lost to the Dolphins, who are largely terrible. So just a very messy AFC. Do the Chiefs belong back in that conversation, at least with, you know, the Ravens and the Jags and the Chargers and, like, the Titans, I guess, kind of in that messy second tier behind the Chiefs, behind the Patriots or the Steelers? Or they still need to show you something on Saturday before you go to that next level?
I mean, I think they're better than the Ravens and Titans. I think the Titans are the worst 85 team. I don't think the Titans are going to make playoffs.
Yeah.
For anybody who, by the way, pays attention to lines, or maybe better for the people who don't,
yeah,
the 49ers are 3-10, and they're favored over the Titans this weekend.
Wow, that's amazing.
So just keep that in mind. Yeah. I mean, that goes to show you what Vegas thinks of the Titans.
Yes.
So for me, I think the Chiefs, look, I have to see them play well on Saturday. Mm-hmm. They go into Arrowhead on Saturday night, and they win, and they play well doing it. I think the Chiefs are right there with the Jacksonville and the team that could, you know, potentially cause a little trouble in the AFC playoffs. But for me, the Chiefs, look, we know the Chiefs can win big games. We know the Chiefs can beat the best teams in football. They've done it. But
yep.
The question becomes with them, how consistent can they be, and can they put it together for a full 60 minutes? I think they're dangerous, and I don't think there's anybody in the AFC that's dominant. The loss of Shazier is an enormous deal for Pittsburgh. But, you know, can the Chiefs take advantage of some of these issues these other teams are having? Well, I think we're going to find out who the Chiefs are once and for all Saturday night.
I'm looking forward to it. Matt Verderam from Fanside. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You read all of his work on Fanside. You can hear his podcast, Stacking the Box. It's on Blog Talk Radio. If you just search Stacking the Box podcast, you will find it. Matt, always good to talk to you. And we got kind of like an optimistic, at least a smiling Matt Verderam today, which was a real treat after these last several abysmal weeks.
I'm sure my family would agree. And, you know, by the way, for anybody who thinks maybe that, you know, this week it's taking too long to get to the game, I actually have been roped into having to go to my wife's family for dinner on Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
Oh, what?
So,
what?
So I have to DVR this game, turn my phone off, and I'm going to be watching it like it's live at about 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to be catatonic at dinner. So...
How does that happen? Oh,
this,
Matt!
Because the dinner was planned like 3 months ago because it's a Christmas dinner. Yeah, let's just say I am going to be a little bit distracted at the dinner table.
You're going to be the dude, pardon me, but the guy in the Raiders sweater in the NFL Network commercial where everyone is just staring like, what is wrong with you? That's going to be you, but it's just going to be instead of a Raiders sweater, it'll be like a Chiefs button-up and a nervous sweat. Oh, that's the worst.
I might be having an adult beverage or two during that dinner to quell my nerves because I can't remember the last time I watched these live. I can remember the last time I turned them off live.
Sure,
that was probably the Jets game. But I'm going to be I'm going to be having a hard time Saturday night. So all you folks out there listening who maybe have religious bones, pray for me.
Okay, so tune in to at Matt Verderam on Twitter at what, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on Saturday night and get Matt's in-game reactions live. Godspeed, Matt. Enjoy the case of adult beverages that you'll be having at dinner. You're not fooling anybody.
I'm not trying to. I'm going to need them.
All right, good luck. That's Matt Verderam from FanSided on Twitter at Matt Verderam. Oh, what a the sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach that he must have gotten whenever he saw the schedule. Oh. And hey, listen, if it turns out like the Jets game, then that's actually a gift.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Read that sudden thing again.
Gortat tweets Wall would torture Ball for 48 minutes.
Yeah, sorry, that was the roadblock
Wall
that I
will
hit.
Torture Ball, okay. Sorry, yeah, that is tough to
48 minutes of Ball torture, man.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Beards, I need you to tell me about what happened with LeAngelo Ball, which I literally did not know was a person.
He's the middle ball.
On ESPN Kansas City.
It's enough, Beards. It's enough out of you. That was great, last segment. I know we're doing like some like look ahead to Saturday on Tuesday stuff here, but if the Chiefs have the defensive line and the front seven that they had last week show up again on Saturday, then I mean the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. They're going to win on Saturday. They're going to beat the Dolphins. They're going to beat the Broncos. They're going to maybe win a home game and certainly lose to the Patriots or Steelers.
Hey, man, the Patriots lost last night. Anything can happen.
To the Dolphins. To Jay Cutler.
Ugh.
If you lose to Jay Cutler, you should be, in 2017, you should be launched into the sun. And the Chiefs are going to lose to Jay Cutler 2 weeks from now, by the way. That's going to happen. Nick Jacobs tweeted out earlier, something I've been wondering is why did it take this long? I'm looking at coach's film now, and I already see the adjustments in run and pass blocking. I see adjustments on pass rushes and play calling along with more urgency. Why wasn't the Dallas and New York Giants game enough? And I think that's a reasonable question. I think it's probably an issue largely of just kind of like, you know, thinking that we've got this. Guys like Bob Sutton and Andy Reid aren't going to be super eager to change their approaches. That's just kind of part of who they are. That generally also kind of makes sense. Beards has smirked at something. Is there something I should know about Beards?
No, I'm just trying to figure out what liners I want to use for the rest of the show.
Fantastic. As always, you can watch the show on ESPN Kansas City's Facebook page, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. You can listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts, Almost Entirely Sports, or live from 4 to 6 p.m. every day. Again, on ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, 1510.com, or on one of those terrestrial radios, 99.3 FM or 1510 AM. Eddie has clarified that Bill Cosby was the 80s/early 90s TV dad. So, yeah, as we talked about earlier, I think LeVar Burton was my maybe the nearest equivalent childhood figure. I guess like Mr. Rogers. If you found out that like Mr. Rogers, like
that one's too unbelievable though. That one would never happen.
Didn't he go to war and like was isn't there some like war stories about Mr. Rogers from before his TV days? I don't know. I just
remember the story of like he got his car stolen or something, and then it got put out on the news, and then it got returned the next day, and it was like with a note that said, "Sorry, I didn't know it was you."
That can't be true.
I don't know. That's what I've heard.
That can't possibly be true.
It sounds like it could be though.
Didn't Benjamin Franklin like? Didn't they find like a bunch of like literal skeletons under his house or something? I feel like that's the thing that happened.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know if it was him.
I think it was a Ben Franklin thing. Like, oh, it was actually for like, you know, doing medical research or whatever. Okay, Ben Franklin. That is the fearful equivalent that there'd be for Mr. Rogers. Also, Mr. Rogers and Ben Franklin were like friends. Classmates, I think. Both born in the 1700s.
Can confirm it was Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin has skeletons under if Ben Franklin has skeletons under his house. Nobody's safe.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.